but we began just wanting to know what we do. And the thing that came to our hearts was be. Just the word be. You know, when God was asked who he was, he gave the being. He said, I am. So we're going to use be because we find in the Bible. We find in the Bible you're supposed to be born again. Look at me, let me say something. You need to get religion out of your mind just a little bit, that being born again is not about you being a Christian in the sense of you join the club. It's not about I prayed the right prayer. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, you don't have to ever pray a prayer in this church to be born again. Born again is not you talking to us, it's you talking to God. We've got a lot of people there shake your hand and say, yeah, you're a member of the kingdom of God, a member of our church, and they'll shake your hand, and you're part of the club, and you go on, and your life has never changed. I got some gospel news for you today. The word is be born again. It's a state of being, and it's for us to be born again. There's one be filled with the Spirit, right? We're going to deal with the be filled with the Spirit, be born again. We're going to be without fear. We're just going to make up our mind this month about who we are. Amen? And I want to deal with being born again this morning. At least I'm going to track that direction for a little bit for sure. But look in your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now, in your Bible, you're going to find that the words or the phrase born again is only in your Bible three times. Saved is in your Bible scores of times. And the word saved and born again have the same essence about them. If you're born again, you're saved. If you get saved, that means you're born again. So you use the same words, they can interchange. But born again, in the phrase itself, is there twice in John 3, and then you find it again in 1 Peter chapter 2, and it deals with being born again. How many of y'all remember Nick at night? I'm talking about John 3. Nicodemus comes at night. Okay, all right. All right, look in your Bibles. Y'all made fun of me on Facebook for my corny jokes, and you are now in trouble. This is when Nicodemus comes to the Lord. He's asking him a question. Now, I want you to watch this. Nicodemus is a religious man. Nicodemus, if there was not a need for Jesus as Savior, would go to heaven because he kept the law. He was a man of righteousness in himself, but he wasn't a man of righteousness on God's level. Amen? And one of the things that he came to Jesus about was this idea of what is this about you? So you find in verse number 1, it says this. We'll just begin in verse number 1. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night. Okay. Right? Nick at, all right. And said to him, Rabbi, our teacher, we know that you're a teacher come from God and that no one can do these signs unless God is with him. Verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm just going to let you see this. Jesus' response to him about who he was, his response to him was, if you want some of this, if you want this kingdom, you've got to be born again. If what you see in me is what you want, it takes being born again to get there. Are y'all still tracking me? Now, born again, if you look the word up and just try to divide them out, how many of you understand that they do mean some things like to be born means to labor in birth. It means to be begotten. It means giving birth after conception. It means God making men his sons. That's being born again. It means to deliver or to bring forth. That's what born means. But again is interesting because we look at again like we're going to do it again. And I'm okay with that. That is the word there. But also, if you look that up in the Greek, it means from above as well. If you look the word up in the Greek, it also means from above. And here, it's anothen, and it means from above, it means to be the very first of, and it means to do something over again. So it does mean do it again, but it means from above. So this kind of helps us understand, I'm born again from above. I'm not born again horizontally. I've already been there. So if you read this a little bit further, let's just go a little bit further, and this is a basic, but I believe God's going to nail something in us this morning. As a matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 4, I think it is, and probably verse number 19 in that ballpark in there, Paul said this, he said, I'm laboring again in birth for you. he's talking to a spirit-filled church at Galatia, and he says, I'm in a predicament here because I'm laboring in birth again for you. And it just helped me to understand something. We need to be born again. And again. And again. And again. I'll see right now, some of y'all not with me. You're saying, well, I got born again once. That's all I have to be. I'm going to help you right now. Your Bible says that no man is going to live this life and not sin, not have an issue. And being born again is who I be. It's not what I'm doing. I want to every day get up and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'm born again, that today is a new day, and today I'm born again. Today I'm seeing the kingdom of God, amen? We can't stay in church talking about what we did 20 years ago. Look at me. I don't care what you did 20 years ago. Yeah, but I was, you know, I accepted Jesus. Listen, you're not going to get to heaven and get a merit badge for that. You're not going to get an attendance pin that you never missed church. You're going to have to be born again that day. No one's going to look at your history about it. As a matter of fact, God's already covered your history. When I read this and you move on a little bit further, Jesus says this. He says a man's got to be born again. You know Nicodemus. He's like some of us. He said, but how do you get born again? You got to enter back in your mama's womb. That's ridiculous. And Jesus said, of course it's ridiculous. This is not about being born again of a woman. You're going to be born of the flesh or of the water, and you're going to be born of the spirit. I'm talking about a spiritual birth right here. Listen, guys, if you can be born twice, you can only die once. If you're only born once, you're going to die. There is a second death. So I'm going to help some of y'all that aren't born again today. There is a second death, and we can't take that out of the Bible to make you feel better before you go home today. I'm just going to tell you right now, Jesus said you got to be born again. He said you don't go back into mama's womb, but he said this. He said it is a position you have with God that you must be born again. And he begins to explain to Nicodemus a little bit more about it. You can read this whole thing, but Jesus says this in verse number 7. He repeats again, and he says this, don't marvel that I say unto you, you got to be born again. He talked about the wind blows where it lists, and everyone, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We move by the Spirit of God if we're born of the Spirit. And I'm going to say this to you. If you're moving out of the flesh, if you're moving out of fear, then you're not moving in a born-again experience. I'm not saying you're not loving Jesus. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I'm just going to help you on something. You're born again. I've got a body, soul, and spirit. My dog has two of those. Say I've got body, soul, and spirit. Yeah, but your dog's got two of them. How many of you know the dog's got a body? I mean, you see that? I'm not talking about cats are good targets, but I don't like cats. I'm going to talk about those. But it just dealing with the area. Anybody mad yet over your stupid cat? But yeah, right. But my dog Cajun, he's got a body. But I'm gonna tell you something else. He's got a soul. Right? Mind, will, and emotions. How many of you know when I go out there and I fuss at him, he has emotions. I don't know how your dog does, but my dog cowers down when I get to hollering at him because he understands he is in trouble. So he's got a mind. He can think. He has a will. He'll get in the pen or he won't. And if he doesn't, he has feelings. And I hurt them for him. So I'm just going to say this to you. Your animals have a body and a soul. You've got to understand what makes you different from the animal world, and that is you got a spirit. Now, your problem with your spirit is it was dead at your birth. Oh, no, I had a spirit when I was born because I'm going to go to heaven. Look, I'm going to argue about going to heaven. God can bring anybody to heaven he wants to. He can take stillbirth and take that to heaven. You got a baby in heaven. He can take a baby 3 days old. He can take someone before the age of accountability, whatever that is with God, and he can take them to heaven. Yeah, but you got a dead spirit, but he's God. He's God. So I don't argue about that with people, but here's what I will tell you. I can't make you have a live spirit when you're born. You got a spirit, but your spirit is fallen under Adam's fall. How many of you know when Adam sinned, you remember Adam sinned, and God said, if you eat of that tree, you're going to do what? You're going to die. How many of you understand that the day he ate the fruit, he died? Oh, no, Pastor, he was still alive. Oh, no, baby, he was dead. He was a dead man walking. He's like people that walk around us. They're alive on the outside, but they're dead on the inside. And I'm going to say this. That's what Adam is, and that's what all of us were when we were born. This is why you need to tell your children about Jesus and get them born again at the earliest age and quit waiting on the church to do it for you. Teach those babies the kingdom of God. Let them hear you pray. Read the word of God to them. Get them involved in the kingdom. And don't tell them when they can or can't be saved. Some people say, well, they can't be born again until they're 12 years old. I want to tell you right now, if my kid says at 5 years old, I want to be born again or I want to be saved, I'm going to say right now, let them be saved. Let them be born again. The idea is we explain born again every day anyway. And what I'm doing to some of y'all right now is telling you about born again, and you're bored with born again because you already are. Your problem is you're not living in what you are. You're not being born again. Now, the Word of God gives me explicit ideas on this, that I've got a body and I've got a soul. I've got mind, will, and emotions. I have a body to live in. My Bible also says that my body was given to me and yours was given to you to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 18 and 19, it says that you were created, your body was created to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. You ain't got to amen me on this, but I don't know if I'm right about this one. This baby's body is created to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, this man is created to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. If someone in here was on drugs and wasn't going to go to heaven, I could come lay my hands on you and say your body was created to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. What you do with it doesn't change what God has it conceived for. Your body is created to house the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Spirit comes in you, that's Jesus coming in because he comes in by the Spirit. Now, I'm going to get something's over my head right here, and that is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. First of all, the Bible says it's a mystery. I'm going to give you another mystery, and you'll get it in heaven. It's a mystery that your spirit's dead, but when the Holy Spirit comes in, it comes alive, and that Spirit locks itself in to the Holy Spirit, that the only thing that can divide them is the Word of God. See, some of y'all thought you got the Holy Ghost, he's just coming in and out. No, no, baby. When he comes in, he's in my body, but he has attached himself. He is meshed with my spirit, and the only way I can divide those two is by the Word of God. You're going to say you're a child of God like that? That's exactly how you are. You're born again, and you are meshed into God. You're sewn into him. You are melded into him. Amen? Now, dog can't do that. He doesn't have a spirit. There's no capacity. See, some of y'all say, my dog gonna go to heaven? Probably not. Okay. I got it. Okay, maybe one will. I don't know. I believe there'll be dogs. I believe there'll be dogs here on the earth. I believe there'll be dogs here on the earth in the new heavens, new earth. I believe that. I believe the animals will be here. I believe dogs will be here. But when I go in the rapture church, two things. Number one, I probably won't see a dog. Neither will you. That'll hurt your feelings. But I'll help your feelings. You won't think about your dog anyhow. I guarantee you, when you leave here, you're not thinking about your mom or your daddy. You're not thinking about your son or your daughter. Look at me. You're not thinking about your family when you leave here. You're thinking about Jesus when you leave here. We get people dying on us, and we think, oh, they're just broken down over us. I'm going to help you right now. When they get with God, they're not weary about you, and they're not worried about you, because the Bible says God wipes away every tear. So they're not concentrating on earth. If they could, what a lousy place heaven would be. So we've got this body, soul, and spirit, and the Bible says, Jesus says, what's born of the flesh is flesh, but what is born of the spirit, now that's spirit. And that's what he said, Nicodemus, you have in you. And now, moving on into being born again, there's another chapter that intrigues me as much as John 3, and that's over in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 is dealing with Abraham and God and me and you. And it's dealing with the word called imputed. You'll find it 11 times, depending on your translation, 10 in others. But I find it in my Bible 11 times the word imputed is in 24 verses. Now let me say something to you. If God says something once, it's important. If he says it twice, you better be doing it. But if he says it 11 times in 24 verses, you might want to know what that means. You might want to do a little word study on what impute means, because the Word of God says it this way. It says Abraham believed God. This is all the way back in Genesis 15. And Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him as righteousness. Now, there's another word, maybe your translation says accounted, but it's the same word, accounted and imputed. Now, impute means to put it on your account. It's credit. It's given to you. Someone makes a deposit in your account that you didn't have to make. That's imputed to you. You didn't earn it. They gave it to you. But it's in your account. So now you own that what's in there. It's yours. Amen. Y'all still follow me? And the Bible said Abraham believed God, and it was appointed unto him. It was appointed, it was imputed unto him to be righteous. Now look at me, let me tell you something. Your Bible makes it very clear in that chapter that this is not about the law. I get so sick of people saying, well, you know, the law, you got to just live a certain way by the law. Let me tell you something. Grace causes you to live right. When people say, well, you're just legalistic. I'm not legalistic. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, that grace teaches me to deny ungodliness. You kidding me? I'm not being ungodly so I can be legalistic. I'm doing it because I'm in grace. Grace teaches you something. You can't earn righteousness. You can't do righteous deeds and become a righteous person. Now, you can do righteous deeds and still be unrighteous. You can't earn righteous. But if I am righteous, if I've been made righteous, then at this point, I should be doing righteous deeds. Are y'all still tracking me? Sometimes we get the cart before the horse. And that is, we try to do stuff before we be stuff. The first thing you need to be is understand I have the power of God, and I have righteousness. The Spirit of God is already imputed to me. Say, righteousness is given to me. I'm going to tell you something else you won't like. This I'll tell you anyway. It's not as bad as the dog not going to heaven, though. I just let you know this. Your sins were imputed to Jesus' account. Think that one through. Think about it just a minute. Your seeds, Joe, I hate to tell you this, Coach, but I'm going to say this to you anyway. Your sins were imputed into Jesus' account. I'm glad they were. Because his righteousness was imputed in your account. In other words, God took a deposit out of his. He emptied his bank account and said, Joe, I'm taking everything out. I'm cleaning this account out, and I'm putting it all in Jesus' account. And I'm going to take whatever is in Jesus, all that righteousness, that right standing, and I'm going to put it in you. And I'm just going to let y'all see this right now. Jesus took the deposit from Joe into his account that he could be the lamb to stand over it as a sacrifice, that the sin would be gone. Look at me. He's not trying to forgive you. He's already done that when he imputed righteousness in you. God's not trying to get you righteous. You either be or you don't. You either are or you're not. God's not working on righteousness. It's an imputed issue with God. When you think, well, you know, God's, he's working on my sins. Let me tell you something. Every time you sin, you impute it in Jesus' account. No, I don't, because I didn't repent. You can say what you want to, but my Bible says that he died for all sin and can't die again, so he must have already died for that one. Whether I like it or not, whether I repent or not. Now, you got to repent, but listen to what I'm saying. Listen to me. Your sin, when you do it as a believer, that moment gets deposited, imputed into Jesus' account. So don't be looking around wondering if God knows what's going on. Huh? Well, it was just a little lie. Doesn't matter what kind of lie it was. Look at me. That sin was taken and put in his account. Well, what if I don't repent? If you don't repent, you're going to be in deep trouble. But he can't not bear the sin. He can't not do it. It's imputed. Once it started, once he was resurrected, it started. And your Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21 that he who knew no sin was what? Was what? Made sin for me and you. In other words, he didn't do anything, but he got everything I was. Oh, y'all not amen to me yet. That was 2,000 years ago. I don't care how many years ago the sin was taken care of at the cross. What I've got to do is repent today because the work is already done. And when I sin, my sin is already imputed to him. All right, back and give you another thing. People in the world that don't serve God, he's already died for their sins. The Bible doesn't say, for God so loved the church, he gave his only begotten son. Your Bible says, for God, this is John 3 also. You need to read the whole chapter. It says, for God so loved the culture. Yeah. It, the world. But listen to me. Don't know me on this one. Because if I think the world, I think of a globe. And I will exclude some things that he may not love. But look at me. That word world also means culture. How many of you know we got a jacked up culture? And we got a jacked up culture. And we got some issues in our nation. We got issues in the world. We just got a bad place to be in. Can I tell you something? There's nobody in this world Jesus doesn't love and didn't die for. There's not one of them. There's not one assassin that he's not died for. There's not one of them he doesn't love. He cannot love ISIS. Look at me. Let me tell you something. He died for ISIS. ISIS may not get us. See, some of y'all getting mad right now. That's because you ain't judge. God loves them all. He doesn't cull any of them. Jesus didn't die for white Americans. Well, but that's the mentality we have. Let me tell y'all something. Jesus died for every breathing brother and sister in his house. But he died for every one of them in the bar. He died everyone in the crack house. He died for everybody. He did not cull a few of them that he just really didn't like. He didn't take a rapist out or a child molester out. You might take them out, but he doesn't. Now, I want to help you on something. You're going to have to change the way you pray because you're going to be praying contradictory to God. No, Pastor, that's not so. I'm glad you said that because Isaiah 43, 4 through 7 says it this way. The Word of God says, I want you to call them home. I want you to call every one of my kids that are away, call them home. Call every one of them and face the north and the south and the east and the west and call to the spirits and tell those spirits to let my kids go. Everyone I created and call by my name. See, we praying for our kids like they can't get saved. You need to be rebuking the spirit over them because God's already calling them. I'll go ahead and, since I already faked you out on this one, I'll give you another one. Some of y'all look at me really strange this morning. When you came up during worship and praise, Lee, and you stood up here, I don't know what's happening, but an illustration came to me when you were up here. And here's what the Lord said. And this would be a word for you, but it was going to be a word for a lot of folk in here, but you'll pick up on this one. Jeremiah chapter 1, the word of the Lord says, I think it's in verse number 4, the word of the Lord says in Jeremiah, I knew you before you were born. I see right now some of y'all are getting scared about this thing of a predestination. Well, you have to deal with some of this stuff because Romans 8 says everybody that got saved, God knew. God cannot not know you. God cannot not have known you when Jesus was on the cross. God could not have not known you when he was calling the earth out of nothing. When he was doing that, he knew who you were, Tim. He knew you. He knew how big you'd be. He knew you'd be born again. He knew your life. And I'm going to tell you something else. Here's what he says, Lee. It says this, I knew you before you were born. I knew you before your mama knew your daddy. I knew you before you were a bleep on a screen in a doctor's office. I knew you. And not only did I know you, I have called you and I have set you apart. Here's your word. I have sanctified you. Look at me. Let me tell you something. You don't need to not drink because the Bible says you shouldn't be an alcoholic. You shouldn't be drunk. You should not murder because the Bible just says that. You need to do it because you're set apart from it. Well, I'm not in a holiness church. If you're in the kingdom, you are. You're right in the middle of holiness church if you're in the kingdom of God. Because there are things in the kingdom of God I cannot do. Why? Because I'm set apart. God, when did he do that? When you got saved? The truth is, yes, when I got saved. But in God's eyes, he did it from the beginning. in my eyes, it happened right now. I made a decision. Yeah, you got to make a decision. Yes, you got to believe. Yes, you got to confess. I get that. But I'm going to say this. You can't make God be you because he is sovereign and you ain't. That means there's nothing he can't know. That means from the very beginning, before we were spit, he was there and he talked to himself and said, we're going to make a creation here. When he was doing all of that, he knew us. He knew this service this morning. He knew this message today. The anointing on what I'm saying right now is because he knew this from the foundations of the earth, not because I prayed it through last night. He's just looking for somebody to do what he said do. Now, here's what it is. He said, I have called you. Resonating, right? But I didn't call you because you prayed. He said, I called you before your mama knew your daddy. I had a place before those cells ever came together. I already had you. I had you doing what I've called you to do. I've set you apart for it. And if I've set you apart and I've called you for it, then you'll do what I've called you to do. You'll perform that. Okay, Ephesians, here's what Paul says, Ephesians chapter 2. He says this way. He says, God prepared for us works beforehand that we're doing today. When was beforehand? Back in the creation. Y'all still tracking me? The Bible says this, Jeremiah, I knew you, and I've called you, and I've set you apart. If you set apart, you're a cast off from the world. But you'll cast in the kingdom of God. If you're set apart, you're different than the world. And I know a lot of people saying, well, we got to be like them so we'll get them saved. They don't want to be like them to get them saved. They already that. Matter of fact, you were never created to be somebody else anyhow. So quit acting like them. Don't act like me. Act like you. God called you, Lee. God called you. He didn't call me to do it. He's called you to do it. He's called you to do that. If he'd wanted me to do it, he'd have told me to do it. He didn't say that to me. He didn't call me to be a prophet, but he called prophets in this room right now. Sandra, I'm not called to do what you do. So I don't try to act like I got that. I don't. That's not where I live. Hold your thumb up. Point it at your neighbor and say, not like me. You had to do both of them, right? I got you. Cool. Your fingerprint, in this case, thumbprint, is different. There's not one more in this room, just like yours. There's not one more in this city, just like yours. See, you're trying to think I'm not special. I'm telling you, you are special because there's nobody in this city got your thumbprint. There's nobody in Alabama got your thumbprint. There's nobody in the Southeast United States of America got your thumbprint. There's nobody in the United States got your thumbprint. There's nobody among over 7 billion people that have your thumbprint. You are unique, called of God, set apart for what God wants to do with you. I got news for you. Not only are you only thumbprint out of 7 billion plus, you're the only thumbprint since Adam. Like you. Say, God's got his eye on me. Say it again. Say, God's got his eye on me. See, the devil hates you because he's terrified of sanctified. He's terrified of sanctified. That means if you start believing that you are special to God and you believe I am a temple of the Holy Ghost and you believe God did ordain me, he called me, he set me apart. When you say I've been set apart, the devil says, I'll knock that out of him. He hates and he's terrified of sanctified. He loathes you. He has assigned assassins to keep you from being you. He wants you to be somebody else. He'd like for you to fall in line. You need to make up your mind, baby. I ain't like anybody else. I was set aside before I was born. God knew who I was, set me aside, called me, sanctified me, and now I've showed up on earth in 2015. I got something to do. See, now here's your question mark. What is it I'm supposed to be doing? I'm glad you got that question mark. You need to keep that one. And every day you need to say, what today, God? What today, God? What is it today, God? You've sanctified me. What is it today, God? The devil came and he killed half my family, but I've decided that you knew me and you knew what was going to happen beforehand, and you knew that I was called and sanctified and set aside. That's why you weren't aborted, because God knew you and sanctified you. That's why you weren't stillborn. That's why you didn't crib death. Why didn't you? Because God had a thing for you to do today. Well, what about those that did? Then they're done when they got done. But you're special. Set aside. That's sanctified. And the devil is terrified of sanctified. So you're wondering why you've had a bad day? I can take that load off your mind right now. Or as my uncle used to say, right now. You got to be from Delta East Arkansas to talk like that. Oh, you can go back to South Carolina, I guess. Oh, Mississippi now. Yeah. Maybe right here, maybe at your house. I'm not 100% sure. But I've got to make up my mind that God did set me apart. So life hadn't been perfect, and neither have you. You've got some time in your life you just wish I could just close the calendar and just expunge all that. Can I tell you something? God has known you from the foundation. He knew you before Mina knew Jerry. Before she was born, your mama was born, he knew you. He knew you from the foundation and said, I've got a work for her. When she says yes to me, I've already got work declared for her, and I'm setting her apart. I'm making her special. I'm giving her a special thumbprint. Nobody else has it. She's called to do something. That's why you can't quit today. Okay, I'm done on this. I'm done on this. I'm through. I'm done on this. Yeah, I really am. Several years ago, I got this this illustration from a guy. You may know him. What's his name? The guy that's evangelist, that he married the Spanish girl, the Mexican girl. Come on, Sue. Come on, baby. Huh? Pat Hayes. You know Pat Hayes? Pat Hayes years ago used to hang out in the fellowship over there in West Monroe, and his friend David and all those guys. So Pat Hayes, he was a prophetic guy. So Pat Hayes, I don't know why I'm telling you all that, because you don't care, but Pat Hayes is special to me. He could preach a picture better than I could ever paint one. I'm just telling you, when he would preach, you could see everything. He would take you on a story. And you would feel and smell and see everything. Just incredible. Just incredible. And he's just an old country boy, just loved Jesus, but could tell a story. One of the things that he told me, and I'm going to tell you and leave you with this, that God created you. Your spirit's born again because of him, not your mom and daddy. This church didn't get you saved. This church can't keep you saved. But I will tell some of y'all, whether you like it or not, I do travail over you in birth again because you jacked up. And you know you're wrong. Right? I mean, you know you are. You can come in here and fake it if you want to, but you don't fake it before God. Don't fake it to me. I mean, the Lord speaks to me to pray for you. The other night, I sent a text out to three of our cops in the room. Or one of them attends here, the other two don't. But I felt like I needed to text these boys. And I just said, it might have been Wednesday night. I can't even remember. I don't know when it was exactly. And I texted them. I said, the blood of Jesus is covering you right now, and you are protected. I'm going to say this. God will bring things to you. So when I tell you I'm travailing in birth, I'm not travailing mad at you. I'm travailing because you're travailing birth till you're born again. Say again. Yeah, so when you're not where you need to be, there can be a again. And someone will travail for you to push through. So here's the illustration that God has for you this morning. We'll close on this. And that is, it's the potter. So if you see the potter, and if everybody ever seen potter, they call it throwing mud, right? How many's ever in art, you know what I'm talking about, right? You've done some of that stuff. All right, y'all, you artsy people get it. Okay, Tom, y'all got it. All right. So these artsy guys and gals know what I'm saying. They get this mud, and when a before they get the mud, they got to go to the riverbank. And so they go down the riverbank, especially in Arkansas, when you go up there and get some of that natural, you can get it here in Alabama too, the natural clay with the colors, right? So they go to the riverbank to get the clay. They reach down, elbow deep in the mud. See, you're not amening yet. He didn't scrape you off the top as gold, baby. He reached down in the mud for every one of us. He reaches down in the mud and he pulls us out and we're just a glob of mud. And he brings us back to his shop and he gets some water and runs it over that mud, the washing and the regeneration of the word, if you don't mind. And he washes off until the clay rests. He gets the clay out and he begins to mold it and push it and move it. And if he finds any big rocks in it, he pulls them out and throws them aside. And then he'll put it on the wheel. He throws it, they call it. Put it on the wheel. He starts pedaling or turns on the wheel and it starts spinning. And again, he will stop it and then push it down and push it down. And he'll find something else in there, maybe a piece of straw or grass or pine straw, whatever. He pulls it out. He looks at it, and you're thinking, oh, how ugly is that? Can I tell you something? He's very happy to pull out the straw. He's totally happy to get the rock out. See, y'all've made him not love you when you're jacked up. He's the potter. He's got you on the wheel. Some of y'all been built up and got pushed back down. You mad at God? Don't get mad at him. He probably sees something in you that he's got to get out yet. So he pulls out the rock. Why does he pull the impurities out? Because, listen to me, if he doesn't take the impurities out, when he puts you in the oven, you'll blow up. It'll blow up, ruin the whole thing. So he pushes us down, and he molds us, and he brings us up on the wheel, and then you'll look a while, and he'll push us back down. He keeps working it, and he keeps the water on it. The continual washing of the water on that clay. He pulls that pot up and he gets that thing pulled up like this and he gets it up and he makes it and he's got this beautiful urner pot and then he'll glaze it. He'll cover that over, kind of like the Holy Ghost being on it, and then he'll put it in an oven. Now, you think being in an oven's a bad thing. It's what makes the pot the pot. If you don't put it in the oven, it will fall apart when you put something in it. It's got to go through a trial. And that's where the church gets messed up. We're afraid because we had our house burned down that God doesn't love us and doesn't know where we are. Karen, you are special. You've got a thumbprint like nobody else in 7 billion people. God's not mad at you. He loves you. The devil hates your guts. He is terrified of what you're going to do as you move forward. If he can shut you down and make you quit God over a burned out house. So he pulls us up and makes us into this pot, puts us in the oven. Here's the process, though, that I want you to see. Two things. Number one, he doesn't go dig you out of the river and throw you on his mantle. I didn't say he doesn't have you. I'm just saying you ain't going on his mantle. There's that process. That's another thing Christians don't want. They don't want a process in their life. So you're going to get that process. And you don't want the oven. I've heard that one. Neither do I. I mean, who likes that stuff, right? I loathe it. But when I'm in it, I'm not going to blame God for it. I'm not going to blame God for cancer. I'm going to say there's a devil loose and he hates me. I'm just going to say that he wants to kill me. And I want to say this. I want to be serving Jesus when he comes or I go. Either way it is, I want to be serving him. So anyway, he pulls the pot up. Here's, I want you to see this. Where is the pot when the mud is still in the river? That's one way it is. It is in the river. But where else is it? The potter sees the pitcher before he ever gets to the river. He, oh, come on now. He said, I knew you before you were born. You were already there. He had a plan for you. He didn't just get a plan for you yesterday. He's had a plan from the beginning. He saw you in the muddy river and said, if I can get them out of that river, if I can, I've got a picture in my mind, if I could ever get them out of the river, if I could just get them cleaned out, if I could get them on the wheel, if they would take the oven, I've got something in my mind they can be. Stand with me if you would this morning. Devil is a liar. The only thing he can say straight two times is a lie. I've got an altar call for people that has unique thumbprint. That's it. There's your altar call. Anybody got a unique thumbprint? Come stand with me. You ain't got nothing else to do. It's holiday tomorrow. How many's got a unique thumbprint? Did God make that clear to you? Do you see it? Did you see it? You got it? Did you see what? Did you see? Did you see it? Did you get it? What you're called for? How long that's been? That it didn't start 6 years ago. It didn't start 10 years ago. It didn't start when you were a little girl and you felt like something just spoke to your heart. It didn't start there. That's when you started getting it. Pastor, I'm going to do something in a motorcycle group in our church. No, Dev said, you ain't doing it in the motorcycle group. I'll burn your house down. You'll quit church. You won't even be there the next week. You're going to be gone. Week after that house burned down, you're in church because you've got a unique, you've got a unique thumbprint. I don't care what's come against you. I don't care what you've lost. I mean, I care, but I can't respond on your issues to make it better because you've lost or you've been pushed back. Someone chose over you and you're ready to quit. Look at me. You failed. Can I say something about failures? Look at me. Let me say something to you. Private failures are the least repented for than public. You repent less over a private failure than you ever would if it was public. No, I don't. Trust me. If we put it up here and everybody saw it, you'd show us repentance. You'd show us what it felt like. So I'm going to say this. I'm glad mine's not public, but I'm going to do better on my repenting. And I'm making up my mind, because I have a failure, doesn't kill me and throw me out of the kingdom. I still got that print. It doesn't mean I can continue sin. The Bible says you can't continue in sin and be His. We get that. But to say we don't sin is a lie. So what I'm trying to tell you is we don't practice sin. If you're doing it 3 or 4 times a week, that's called sinning. If you've done it one time and never again, or maybe once in 10 years or something ridiculous, then you're not practicing that. It's an issue you're dealing with. I get that. I get fallen. But I also get that I'm special. So I make up my mind. I listened to the wrong thing. I tripped over something that was in my way. I didn't have the light on when I should have, and I fell. And God, I am so sorry that I fell, because I know that this failure was already imputed to Jesus. I know what I said was already there. I know what I did was already there. I know everything that I've responded to in a bad way is already there. And that makes me sad. But it makes me glad that it's already there. And I can say I am unique. Forgive me for my failure. And I know you love me. I don't have to work my way back up to you love me, because you love me from the foundations of the earth. You've called me and set me apart, and the devil hates my guts, and he knows I'm sanctified, therefore he's terrified. No wonder he's against me. No wonder he's assigned assassins to kill me. Of course he did. Because you're special. Close your eyes if you don't mind. I just want you to raise one hand. Just one hand that'll commit to God. Just one hand. Just one hand. Commit your digits to God. Hold your hand up with those fingers on it. And as you do, I will make a declaration over you that you are unique. Out of 10 chances the devil has of making somebody just like you, he can't do it. And God said, I'm not going to do it. I've called you. I've anointed you. See right there, Clint, I can walk right by you and you can say, yeah, but I work at the university. I know where you work, but the calling of God is not about where you work. The calling of God is where He's placed you, in the realm of His kingdom. So when I walk by and touch you and feel that, I've got to stop and tell you that you've got 10 digits there, baby. Ain't nobody else got Clint's. Only Clint can do what Clint can do. Nobody else can do it. Nobody else can do what you can do. I don't care what the devil has told you. Nobody can do what you can do. I want you to say it right now. I want you to say, thank you, Father, that in Jesus' name, you foreknew me. Therefore, you're with me. You know where I am and have sanctified me from the beginning. I didn't just get here. This has been prepared for me. My vessel has been in your mind from the foundations, and I will fulfill the calling of God, the purpose of God that's on my life. I'm different. I'm not like anybody else. I'm not going to be like Charlie. I'm not going to be like Pastor Mike. I'm going to be who God made me, because I'm special there.